Hi, I'm Courtney.
And I'm John.
And this is On the Doorframes.
Make sure you head over to onthedoorframes.com to find more info on how you can dig deeper into this topic with us through our monthly workshop and mentorship.
I think that our culture tells us that siblings can't be friends. You know, you're going to have your siblings and then you're going to have your friends. And even if you like your siblings, your friends are definitely going to be more important and your siblings are fine until your friends enter the picture. And then you got to be cool and you've got to pretend you don't like your siblings and you've got to pretend you don't like your parents and all right. those things, which I think is the biggest load of hooey in the world.
Yeah.
And it's definitely something that we've worked to cultivate differently with our kids. And we had cultivated differently. I just don't have any concept of needing to pretend that I don't want to be with my parents and didn't even as a teenager or with my siblings. I thought they were great. I was always happier if my brother was there. I felt safer and I had a hard time sometimes with just being away from my parents and all of those things. But if he was there, I felt very differently. And we grew up with so many family relationships where the whole family was friends with the whole family. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is how you and I came to be.
Yeah.
And that is the story of us because we met when I was about 5 due to our families being friends. And then you did things with my brother. I did things with your sister. And that developed into a relationship that had a lot of background and had a lot of, there was a lot of safety in the fact that mm-hmm. there weren't surprises. Yeah. I knew who you were and yeah. you knew who I was and our families knew who we were.
Right.
And there was a lot to be said for that. And kind of leading to just a safe relationship without, with just a lot of knownness right, factor right. to it, which was really great. But I think that watching our kids become friends, like we've been able to be friends with our siblings, has just been one of the most beautiful parts of parenting. Mm. And a few things that I've noticed that I think have been interesting now that I've done this 9 times. But a few things that have been interesting. One really crucial element to the friendship that I always see happen. And I don't have any statistics to back this up or anything. It's just my observation. But right about 5 years old, and this has a lot to do with your age gaps between your siblings, but right about the time a child was around like the 5-ish would kindergarten phase, there would be this point, this turning point with them and the next sibling, and ours are about 2, 2.5. The biggest gap is 3 years. So you can factor that into how that works. But, I would see this shift where they would go from just sort of like playing together to like a friendship being mm-hmm. formed and this very serious bond. And, while I know everyone does this differently and there are many ways for this to work, I was always very grateful in that space that I wasn't sending that kindergartner away at that point to school because that bond was being formed in their day to day and the kindergartner didn't need a ton of extra learning time. And so there was a lot of time for them to play. And so much of that relationship is built by playing together. And as a parent, if you feel all this pressure of like, okay, let's sit down and build a relationship. Like that's just pressure.
Yeah,
you don't need to put your kids in a fishbowl and make them be friends, but just allowing time and space.
Yep.
Where they're not scheduled and running off to the next thing and a part of the next activity, but they just play together is really important.
Yeah. It creates an environment for that to happen naturally, which is how relationships work,
yes.
right? It is. I think we've as a culture have accepted this norm of, hey, you know, siblings are going to get older and they're going to fight and they're going to not like each other. And man, that's such a lie. And there's so much more there that we can have access to, right? That's so life-giving. If we reject that lie and we kind of dig into this and not accept that this is just how it's going to be. And obviously there will be fighting and hard times and all that stuff, but man, those friendships that form And, you know, time together, it makes that happen. And I remember my sister, right? She helped me kind of come out of my awkward, I think I was like 13, right? And I'd no idea how to dress, how to do my hair. I still remember her being like, all right, we're going to go to the store and get you some clothes and you're going to not look like a vagabond. Right. Because I was, I don't know, going to youth group or something. And it was probably a lot of it was her being like, I'm going to be embarrassed to be seen by this person. No, but she totally, you know, helped me develop that. Yes. Right. And I didn't know. And so it is cool to see that there are, you know, you're living with these people, right? Mm-hmm. And there's so many opportunities to, to just kind of dive into and allow for a relationship to flourish, without it being forced. Right. And so much of that is the environment that we create as parents, right? And we allow space for that. We lead by example. You know, we help ask the right questions. Like, there's so many things that we can do to help foster those times. And even just from a scheduling perspective, you know, having space for it. I think often there's not even space to just be at home together and, you know, play and, you know, sit around and read. And I think about so many things that our kids do. You know, they're reading the same book series together, or there's some new board game. Some, they love the strategy board games, and so they're learning about and playing these board games together. And you know, or they're throwing the ball, or they're out riding their skateboards or their bikes. And there's just so many different things, and it's, you know, and you see them jumping around to, like, it's kind of like, hey, one kid is more interested in like music, right? And so it's like they all kind of gather around and have a musical moment, right? And then it's like, oh, someone wants to do skateboard or, you know, throw the ball. They kind of join in and all do that. And it's not everyone's favorite, but it's cool to see that develop. And they want to almost give time, you know, for the other ones to be able to enjoy kind of what they care about the most.
Yeah. And it's fun to watch it go in seasons too, where there will be two that will be closer for a little while and spending more time doing something. And then it will shift to a different two. There'll be two that are just having a very difficult time getting along. And then something will kind of snap and something will be understood. And all of a sudden they will be, you know, doing great, you know, kind of a thing. And just seeing some of that shift, because again, those are life skills. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
Those things are going to happen in life. And so that them learning how to do all that is really great. And, it's right now it's I've just been laughing so much. The 7-year-old and the 4-year-old, you know, she's been so little and now she's big enough to do more. And so they've kicked into gear in that connection that I've seen all of them make around this time.
Yep.
And now, they're just thick as thieves everywhere. The two of them are, you know, around doing whatever, making enormous messes, all of the things.
Partners and then, in crime.
Yeah. And then, you know, you'll hear one of them telling something else. You know, why did you do that? And our favorite is the 4-year-old. She'll be like, I literally told you. That's her favorite. I literally told you.
She's like, I literally just told you.
And they're so funny. But man, I really don't think there is a day that goes by that I don't sit in our house and watch them interacting and just, I don't know, just feel a massive sense of gratitude for the relationships that they're building. I know how important that is. I know how important it's been in my life to have the love of my siblings. I know that I benefit every day from what you have learned in your relationship with your sister and, you know, what living with her helped you to develop. I know how important this is. And so it's this deal. It's like you're watching something so foundational take place, and it just feels very worth any amount of effort to foster that.
You know, and I think in every case, where that shift happens in you know, around five or whatever, they start to become inseparable. There was a lot of fighting
that had to
be worked through. And it's funny because now, you know, I mean, we've even said this in the middle of, it's like, oh man, they're just like at each other's throats all the time about things. And they're, it's just like, we've done so much work to try to get through that. And I think about like that work, we've seen the result of that. It turned into these beautiful relationships.
Yeah, hundredfold.
And I really think that, I guess that's what even is motivating to me is, it's like, man, if we don't do that work, this relationship may never flourish and they're going to like not like each other. But if we do this work and we help them to understand each other, this beautiful friendship forms from it, because I don't think that just naturally happens.
No, because again, we're selfish.
Totally.
We just bend toward us and our way of thinking.
Yeah. And I mean, I really do think it's everyone.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, it is. 100%.
I mean, they are just, for whatever reason, and the clash of the personalities, right, are just, it seems like, at each other's throats, you know, all the time. And it's just like, oh, we got to work through this. We have to help them see the, you know, the benefit of each other and each other's
strengths.
They're
wanting to find their voice, I think, instead of their claws.
Yeah.
Because that's a life skill. Somebody's got to teach you to do that, right, or you're going to lose your claws, you know?
Totally.
And they're learning that they can find the words instead. And, you know, I think just practically, every time we've had another baby, we have told the other kids, and especially the one directly up from that, you know, you're going to have a baby brother or sister. You are going to love this baby so much. This baby's going to love you so much. It's not mom and dad are having a baby, deal with it.
Right.
It's very much a, this is you. Like, this is your moment to step in here and be this person. And they're going to love you so much. They're going to think you're amazing, you know?
Yep.
And I mean, I'm consciously doing that.
Yeah.
The entire pregnancy, consciously leading into that first moment that they meet, which has been very uneventful until the last one. And then Quinley had a moment. She needed a moment. We have this hysterical video of her walking in circles in my bathroom, just repeatedly walking in circles. Because she hadn't held the baby yet, and she was just, there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
And you can hear my oldest daughter say, you know, Quinley, you want to come and see the baby? And my oldest son, you can hear them both talking to her. And she's like, I just need a second. I just need a second. And she's like walking in circles. And then she was so little.
Yeah.
She's two.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it later and being so proud of her that she just was like doing her circles and taking her minute and figuring it out. And that's kind of that example of like, we can't force them into this, but giving them patience and understanding, it is hard work to get along with another person, but then calling them up, it's all about that. We just calling them up into something, giving them some kind of vision beyond this moment, because in this moment, that other person is really annoying.
Yeah.
And in this moment, it feels like that person is infringing on their space, their connections, their rights, their whatever.
Right.
But giving them vision beyond that, that's what we all have to have in everything. We have to see past our current moment to what really matters, or we spend our entire lives doing the most instantly gratifying thing that usually wrecks our life down the road.
Yeah.
And so teaching them that now is huge for what they decide to do later in their marriage.
Right.
It's huge for what they decide to do at any given point in their lives when push comes to shove, and it's, this is really irritating. Mm-hmm. I would really like to check out right now.
Yeah.
And they start to see that reward.
Right. You know, I think the initial thought is, you know, mom and dad are forcing this person in our lives, right? Yeah. It's like they didn't pick it.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you run with that thought, oh my goodness, like, there's so much that's missed. And by the way, there's going to be a lot of people that come around in your life that you didn't pick.
Right.
And you got to figure out how to interact with and deal with. And maybe you won't be the best of friends, but there's a level of relationship there. And that is that life skill of, if you just make a shift and you think about it differently, right? Like, hey, it's like selfishness says, this person came along and wrecked my perfect life where I had everything I wanted and had all the attention I wanted. And now I have to do some kind of work. Right. And so it's like, yeah, welcome to life. You know what I mean? And to shift that thinking and speak life into them, be like, you have an opportunity to be this for this person and to learn and to grow. And because this is going to be this way for your entire life, it makes all the difference. And, you know, that life skill, I mean, oh my goodness, if you don't learn it, you're gonna have a really tough time, you know, in life. Getting a roof repaired, right? If you don't like the guy that's doing your roof, or, you know, you're going to have these issues. And it's just, and you see that rearing its head where people didn't learn. It's like, hey, this thing was forced on me and I don't know what to do with it. And so I'm just going to default to my selfishness. And, that shift will make a huge difference in their lives going forward.
It's been really sweet to see as the kids have gotten older and then started developing their friendships out of the home. It's been sweet because that foundation has been so strong when we get there that then it has been very natural for them to include each other. And there's been a real protection in that that I've loved, because it started with our oldest and he was doing things with friends, and obviously he had his own things that he did with his friends, and then times when they included Kaylee and he started taking Kaylee with him and had to push Kaylee out of her comfort zone. She was like, I'm doing what now? I've heard him so many times, change your clothes, get in the car, you're going with me, you know, kind of a deal. And she's like, well, what about this? And what about this? He's like, get in the car.
Yeah.
And she does, she goes and she goes with him, and she's so glad that she did.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I love it because she's there with him, which is a natural boundary creator and a natural sense of accountability and it brings about his sense of protection. And then that filters maybe decisions that he would make or that any of the brothers would make. We laugh because all of our girls have a brother on both sides of them. And so we call them their bodyguards. There's a boy, Kaylee, a boy, and then a boy, Natalie, a boy, and then a boy, Quinley, a boy. And so they will all have this, but it's sweet to know that they have that level of protection and sometimes overprotection that the boys offer. But it's been really great. And then we've watched as it moved down, and then Kaylee started driving. And so Levi started going with her, and they were hanging out with friends. And again, there's a sweetness in the way that they can develop their relationships. They've got the safety of that person that is known to them and that knows them. And then they can go out into an unknown world and develop relationships. That's been just really, really sweet to watch.
Yeah.
And I just have such a deep gratitude for their friends, because they have the sweetest friends in the world, most wonderful people who also love doing things that way, love including the siblings, are so kind to the younger siblings. And I'm so grateful for their parents who have done that with them and for them. And just seeing that play out, you know, we experienced that and the protection of that. And I just think it's a beautiful way for it to work.
It's way less scary and intimidating to go off into the world and you've got a wingman, right?
Yes.
And you know, that's built in with siblings. And, you know, and I think another thing that we've been conscious of is we're not doing the whole, you need to take your brother with you,
right?
Always trying to include them, because that breaks down.
Resentment.
And it's just like, well, you're always making me do this. And so, you know, being sensitive to there are times it's like, hey, why don't you take them along? Right. But it's not every time.
No.
And this is again, something that we need to be aware of as parents and really be mindful of is, hey, you know, figure out if this is a good opportunity to maybe include your sibling. But if it's not, dude, let them go do their thing, right?
And I think we've actually more often played the role where we've said, hey, you guys are going to stay home and they're going to go do this by themselves. That's actually been our role more often.
Yeah.
Because they kind of naturally feel that, oh, I should probably take them. And so we've been like, nope, You don't need to this time. That's fine. You go and we've got this and, you know.
And, you know, the more kids you have, the harder that is to navigate. Yeah. But, you know, the younger kids, I think what that's turned into for us has been, hey, when you get to be that age, look at what you have to look forward to, right? And I think there's that, there's a tendency to try to get your kids to grow up too fast. And this is, I think, is especially happens when you have, you know, your younger kids, right? Because, you know, you're just, there's just older kids doing things that are, they're older and there's just that happening. And so it's pretty natural to just let your younger kids to, you know, jump in the middle of stuff. But I think there is a, it's important to slow it down. Remember, hey, this is coming for you, right?
Yeah.
You don't get to experience all this stuff when you're young, right? You have, you know, something to look forward to, and you know, and it creates that space, right, for your older ones not to build that resentment.
And it lets them build relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. And obviously this would be different in a family where, like your family, where you were all the same age.
Totally.
Then that looked different than my family where we were, there was 18 years from the oldest to the youngest.
Right.
It plays out very differently, but I think there is just, it's like, yes, you create a protection for them to do those things. And then also just really applauding them when they do choose to include and they enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. And you get these traditions. Our oldest started this tradition that they did for a while where every Friday night he was taking them rock climbing with their friends. And it was just sweet to watch them all load up in the car and they get ice cream. They'd come home late and, you know, all these kinds of things. And it was fun to watch them do that. And then it shifted and was a little bit different group doing a different thing. And, it's just a lot of fun to watch it play out. So I think just it starts with us having a different vision than what our culture says, and then sharing that vision with our kids, and then watching them see the fruit of it themselves, and then they pursue it because they realize how much they love and appreciate each other. And it really is, it's been such a fun thing to watch. And I think something that will be fun in the future is us getting the kids in here to hear them kind of share some about this and what their sibling relationships mean to them. And I know we're going to be developing a mentorship and having the kids share more in that space. Because I think that'll be fun for them to kind of get to share from their experience and for you guys to hear from their experience as well, because it's a sweet thing to watch.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Thanks for spending time and connecting with us today.
Do you wish you could sit down with us live, bring your questions, and go away with a practical plan for shifting your vision for parenting? Then join us for our monthly workshop and mentorship. Information can be found at onthedoorframes.com.